Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Season 5, Episode 1 of Pick 6 Picks. I'm Thomas Kyle Millwood, and this is the weekly show that picks apart the NFL lines and helps you beat the book. Right off the top, I wanted to apologize for not producing a Episode 1 for Week 1. This is Wednesday night of Week 2 of the NFL season, and we're just we're figuring out what we're going to look like this season. Greg is not here with me tonight. I am not sure how consistently he will be on air with us this season. You might get just me. You might get me and a couple of guests. And you might get me and Greg. We're again kind of figuring that out. Looking at schedules and conflicts. Between the two of us, we're dads to three kids, and life gets crazy and hectic, and I get it. So one thing I wanted to do was make sure that this was something that I kept doing because I'm a creature of habit, but also this is a interest and a hobby for me, and I wanted to see some continuity going into year five of this little passion project. So I will be continuing to broadcast here, you know, sometimes again, well, the format might change, but you will be getting a podcast episode every week going forward. Before we jump into the picks for week two, just wanted to kind of give a recap of week one. Wanted to continue the streak of not missing a game that I've been working on here, and decided to put out my picks over Twitter. Typically, that's something we only do for Thursday Night Football, but decided to go ahead and do the entire 16-game slate for Week 1, just to lock it in for the public and show that I'm continuing to be transparent about my picks. And I'll be honest, it was a pretty brutal start to the season. Ended up going 6-10. Fell into the favorite trap, picked too many favorites and not enough underdogs in that first week where teams are still working out the kinks. Not necessarily embarrassed by that poor showing in week one. Definitely some fun wins in there. Really enjoyed picking Green Bay +1.5 and Miami +3. Got kind of bailed out with Jacksonville -3.5, but definitely some bad beats in there too, and downright poor picks. But one game I wanted to highlight here as we get started, Buffalo versus the Jets on Monday Night Football. Pretty critical game for both teams for different reasons. Obviously, the Jets lost Aaron Rodgers, 4 snaps into the game to a season-ending Achilles injury. Dramatically shifts the outlook for that team moving forward, despite Robert Saleh doing the classic, "They're trying to write us off," you know, rah-rah speech. Zach Wilson just isn't a multi-time MVP and Super Bowl winner. It's going to make that offense different. It's going to make players like Garrett Wilson different. And yeah, that's just kind of going to be a bit of a season ender for the Jets, despite really good play from Breece Hall and what I thought was a great performance from Garrett Wilson, despite having Zach Wilson throwing to him. What an impressive one-hand catch, tipping it to himself for the game-tying touchdown. So just going to look different. Probably a .500 team still. They've got a really good defense, and they've got some definite weapons on that offense. Could be intrigued to see if they're a seller at the deadline, namely Dalvin Cook. Could move him to an actual contender, since it looks like that's what he wants at this stage of his career, a big fat paycheck and a contender status. So that's something to keep an eye on. But good defense. Offense did just enough, and we'll see going forward. But my guess is more of a .500 team and less of a playoff team. But Buffalo is really what I wanted to talk about, because, oh my God, what a continuation of the Bills' decline that we've talked on this podcast about for about a season and a half now. Josh Allen looking lost, cameras panning to him on the sideline with his eyes wide. He's got no idea what's going on. Three interceptions to the same player. Couldn't see the safeties all night. Firing no-hope passes into double coverage. Just a continuation of the Josh Allen that we saw last season after his elbow injury, where he seemed to lose the ability to sling it deep despite having historically a huge arm, an absolute howitzer. And yeah, it wasn't anything the Jets did. That's for sure. The four turnovers that Josh Allen produced that ultimately pissed away a 10-point Buffalo Bills lead, field position multiple drives in a row, wasting a field goal drive at one point, in position for a field goal, chucks a pass into double coverage in the center of the field to his guy, Stephon Diggs, gets picked off. Just awful. None of those were forced interceptions, just horrible choices. And then the Butterfingers fumble to really kind of seal the deal in Bills territory that allowed the Jets to kick a field goal, go up three, and forced Tyler Bass to have to bank in a big-ass kick for the Bills to send it to overtime, in which Buffalo ultimately fell because, you know what, their offensive coordinator sucks ass as well and decided he wanted to run a draw play on, you know, second and 15. But, yeah, just an awful, awful game for Buffalo. Fits a trend we've seen. We talked about it last year in the playoffs when they narrowly beat Miami. We talked about it last year in the playoffs when they ultimately fell to the Bengals in one of our better picks of the postseason last year. This isn't the same Buffalo team. This Buffalo team hasn't been the same since they lost to the Chiefs in overtime. Their window is closing, and I'm just not a believer in them this season, especially after they pissed away my money against the Jets -2.5 on Monday night. So majorly out on the Bills. They've got some serious soul searching to do. And I'm just not a believer in the direction of the program right now, at the coaching level, at the personnel level, or in the front office level, frankly. So, going to be fading Buffalo pretty heavily moving forward here. And with that, let's stop ranting and jump into the picks with Thursday night football. I'm going to take a sip of my ice cold Corona here. And we'll start with Minnesota at Philly. Eagles are laying 6.5 points. Had kind of an interesting first game. Their defense looks a little bit different in the secondary. They've got new linebackers and jumped out to a big early lead thanks to a pick six from Darius Slay against the New England Patriots, and then probably fell back to earth the rest of the game, ended up squeezing a 25-20 victory out against a New England team that folks expected to be improved but didn't necessarily have hanging with the Super Bowl champs. So Philly did cover the number there, did get the win, but you figured that maybe, you know, coming off a Super Bowl hangover, they might be able to dial up a little bit more. But they're going against a Minnesota squad who totally shit the bed against Tampa Bay. This is a Vikings team that had one of their better seasons last year. Double-digit wins. Kirk Cousins shaking off some of the demons he's had in big games, making the playoffs. Just, you know, one of the Vikings' better seasons again with Justin Jefferson really emerging. But this is a new-look Vikings team. Alexander Mattison is in the backfield. Dalvin Cook, as I mentioned, has moved on to the Jets. And I wasn't really impressed with Minnesota's performance. One of those big first halves for Justin Jefferson, but he did nothing in the second half after Tampa Bay made adjustments. Vikings couldn't stop Baker Mayfield. Yes, you heard that right. Baker Mayfield marching down the field in the second half and ultimately fell, losing by 3 points to a team that many people had as just a complete morass entering the year. So I think I'm going to go with the Eagles here. Fly, Eagles, fly. Taking Philly, laying the 6.5. And yeah, just not a fan of a Minnesota team that's primed for regression. Moving on to the Sunday slates, LA Chargers at Tennessee. I was all over Miami last week. After the Chargers, I thought were kind of primed for a bit of a letdown. A huge public team, 99% of the money on the spread. So kind of a contrarian pick by me, but also me backing up a ton of stock I have in Miami in the gambling market this year. I have Miami to win the AFC East. I have Miami to win the AFC, and I have Miami to win the Super Bowl at varying levels of odds. A big fan of this team's offense. It's all about Tua staying healthy, and I'm willing to gamble on that. And Tua looked fantastic against a Chargers defense that isn't necessarily anything to write home about, but I just thought Tua looked absolutely fabulous. Dude gets a bit of a bad rap at times from me as well, but just some crazy ball placement down the stretch. Gotta have throws that he delivered on, and just ending in a ultimately fabulous pass to Tyreek Hill in the end zone. Tyreek Hill was just swallowed up by our cornerback, but a beautifully placed ball allowed Miami to get away there with the win. And I think that they're going to get another win here against a Tennessee team that looks past its prime. They made the mistake to go get, they made the decision to go get Nuke, which may have been a mistake. They ran it back with Tannehill at QB. That definitely looks like a mistake, despite drafting Will Levis and having, Malik out of Louisville in there already as a QB too. And then, of course, it's Derrick Henry again, but a Derrick Henry that for the first time in his career is seeing his touches limited, with Spears, the rookie running back, actually out-snapping him. So feels like Tennessee is poised for a changing of the guard, and yet they're still trying to go all in with the last couple of bullets they have from this old squad. It's just, it's an ugly combo. They lost in embarrassing fashion against the Saints, which we'll discuss later. I'm going to go with the Chargers here, laying 3 points on the road. I think Herbert and the former San Diego faithful will be primed for a bounce back. And this Tennessee team, I'm just fading them. Just don't see Tannehill making the throws. Can't seem to hit outside the numbers, as friend of the podcast Will Rubin noted earlier in the week. He's just too old, man, and this team is going in the wrong direction. Chargers -3. All right, moving on to Green Bay at Atlanta. I've been up and down on Green Bay this offseason. Not necessarily a Jordan Love guy. Still love Aaron Jones. Still think this defense is decent and has some standouts on it. But thought Green Bay might be primed for a bit of a step back. Did like them in week one. And I like them in week two against an Atlanta team that just cannot pass the football. And I don't know if that's by design from Arthur Smith, who loves running the ball. I don't know if that's because they have Bijan, the new rookie sensation, out of the backfield. But Atlanta really, really doesn't like to pass the ball. Just ask Kyle Pitts and Drake London, who were non-existent in that offense, which is shocking given their talent level. But this team is effective at running the football, which means it's going to be able to control games, control clock. Will that be enough against a Green Bay team that has similar running prowess, but a sizable upgrade at QB with Love over Ridder? It is a road game, but I think the Packers get this done. I'm taking the Packers -1.5 here to move to 2-0 and a commanding spot at the top of their division early here in the season. Moving on to Indy at Houston. As everyone knows, I'm an Indy fan. They're starting Anthony Richardson at QB this year after drafting him with the number 4 overall pick. Definitely a rebuilding year in Indy. I have Indy projected as a top 6 pick in the 2024 draft. Definitely a year of discovery, a year of development for AR, and not a year I'm anticipating a ton of wins, but they are playing a Houston team also starting a new rookie QB in C.J. Stroud, a Houston team that did not have a fabulous debut against Baltimore. The Ravens ended up comfortably winning that one despite pretty poor games from key Ravens players and critical injuries to that Ravens starting unit. I don't have Indy winning that many games this year, but I'm taking them laying the point, a single point here in Houston. I think Richardson, who was banged up a little bit, plays really well. Honestly, he was kind of the best-looking rookie QB in this week one slate of games. So interested to see if the other rookies can step up. Interested to see if AR is able to maintain that momentum. Not super worried about the Colts' inability to run the football when their defense is playing as well as it is. And Richardson is able to not only throw touchdowns, but run in touchdowns as well. So give me Indy laying a point. All right, we're on to Seattle-Detroit. Detroit with the impressive week one Thursday night win over the Chiefs, and Seattle with an abysmal performance against the Rams. Seattle's offense just completely shut down in the second half, couldn't get anything going against a Rams team that many people had at the bottom of not only that division but also the league. And honestly, I thought the Rams looked pretty good. They were able to throw on this Seattle defense, which looks really bad. And obviously, they're going up against a team in Detroit that is a bit of a public team. A lot of positive things being said about Detroit's offense, despite the fact they only scored 14 points against the Chiefs. I think the markets are wrong on both these teams. I think that Detroit is not as good as people think. They're not the Detroit from last year, or at least haven't shown that in the early goings of this season. Only managing 14 points against a defense missing Chris Jones is disappointing. And I think Seattle is better than they've shown with the weapons they have on that offense and Geno Smith having a down game this past week, at least in the second half. I think Seattle bounces back in a big way here, and I love taking the Seahawks plus 5.5. I think that's a great bet to take straight up. I think Seattle is possibly a money line bet here on the road in Detroit, and definitely something you can stash in teases, getting that into the double-digit range safely. So love Seattle this week as a road dog against the Lions. All right, now it's time for Chicago at Tampa Bay. Two teams that I don't know a ton about at this season begins, and I want more data points. I lean to being down on both teams. Not a huge Justin Fields guy, as the podcast knows. But I think I have to take Chicago plus 2.5 here. I think that Chicago has more explosivity on offense, and I'm not a huge fan of Tampa Bay on either side of the football. You know, they did score some points against Minnesota, but I'm not going to be the guy that goes out there and backs Baker Mayfield to repeat that performance in consecutive weeks. So not going to waste too much time thinking about this game. I'm going to take Chicago and that offense's ability to kind of get some explosive plays out of both the backfield and the receiving room, as well as Fields himself with his legs. Give me the Bears plus 2.5. All right. Now we have Buffalo at Las Vegas. Buffalo off a terrible Monday night performance. We'll be playing on a short week, laying major points against a Las Vegas unit that kind of looked impressive in a week one win over Denver. Not necessarily suggesting that the Raiders are all that in a bag of chips, but definitely had Denver figured to win that game at home pretty comfortably, and Vegas ended up walking away with a 17-15 win, or 17-16 win, excuse me. Just a bizarre game there, but Jimmy G looked okay for the Raiders, and obviously, we're recording this well in advance, and we don't know the health of certain players. Meyer is working through the concussion issue. I think Jimmy G and Adams both missed practice today, but Meyer's was a bit of a revelation with Jimmy G in Las Vegas, so interested to see if he plays. I'm going to go ahead and take Vegas plus 9.5. Like I mentioned, going to continue fading Buffalo as they kind of figure their ish out. And I think Vegas has been slept on a little bit. It doesn't make sense, but they looked better than I think a lot of people projected them to look this year. Buffalo definitely wins, but it feels like a touchdown win, not a 10-point win. So give me the Raiders. Speaking of big favorites that fail to meet expectations, let's talk Jacksonville versus KC in Florida. KC laying 3.5. Big news for them yesterday was Chris Jones ending his holdout, willing to rejoin the team, and being slated to play this weekend. He potentially joins Travis Kelce coming back from the bruised knee. Looks to be all systems go for KC against a Jacksonville team that a lot of people were fans of after their very impressive playoff showing against both the Chargers and the Chiefs last year. But I think this is one where KC's not getting enough respect at the window here, considering they'll be at full strength. Patrick Mahomes looked pretty good in a loss. Give me the Chiefs laying the 3.5. It's a nice short line, and I just have a suspicion that Jacksonville is going to need a few more games to get up to speed. They did a good job getting the ball to new acquisition Calvin Ridley, but I thought the running game was a little weak, and I wasn't super impressed with Tank Bigsby or the Jacksonville defense, and there were some embarrassing fourth down calls that Indy just snuffed out with their front seven. So not ready to crown Jacksonville. I do think they'll have a good season, but I'm going to go with all reliable here, KC, and laying the 3.5 due to the health of their team and the return of Chris Jones on that defense. One of the games of the week is our next game here, Baltimore at Cincinnati. I've been back and forth over this game a bunch. Cincinnati laying 3.5, and they utterly no-showed in the first week. My wife and I watched that game, and Burrow ended up with 82 yards receiving, and I might have predicted that number to be even lower because the product on the screen was just disjointed and ill-fit for viewing entertainment. I think that Cincinnati is going to be more impacted by Joe Burrow sitting out with that cough strain during all of training camp and all of the preseason than they're letting on. He needs to work off some rust. He needs to work it off quick. And I just don't think that's going to happen against a Baltimore team that, like Cleveland, has kind of had his number to some extent. Feels like it could be a field goal win for Cincinnati. Feels like a bit of a get-right spot, but not in a dominant performance. I think Baltimore plays a little better than they did in Week 1, just as well as Cincinnati plays a little bit better. I think that Baltimore hangs with the hometown Bengals here, at least for the early going. Moving on to Giants at Arizona, and that was Baltimore plus 3.5, just in case I forgot to mention that. Giants at Arizona, Giants coming off an absolute shellacking 40-0 performance against Dallas, in which the Dallas defense and special teams did whatever the hell they wanted, and the Giants just stood there and took it to the point that Daboll left his QB out there to continue to be pummeled by the Dallas front four way later than he should have. It almost felt like he was disciplining Danny Dimes for poor play, but goodness me, the Giants couldn't get anything going. And the entire game was summed up on that very first drive when they stuck to the ground game, moved into field goal range, and then just had that embarrassing blocked field goal return for a touchdown that completely changed the outlook of that contest. Didn't offer much resistance at all. They're going up against an Arizona team that might just be tanking for Caleb Williams. No Kyler Murray with recovery from the ACL. They're running out Dobbs, the QB that played against Dallas for the Titans last year in kind of an emergency fill-in role. He was awful in week one against Washington. I'm expecting him to be awful again against a Giants defense that I think has a pretty good outing here against Arizona. I'll be laying the full 6 points with the Giants. I just think that they're going to bounce back against a much inferior team in Arizona, a QB that doesn't have any experience, and a Cardinals front office that might just be okay with taking L's. So give me the Giants, laying the 6 points. All right, closing in on the afternoon slate here. San Francisco at the LA Rams. I thought San Francisco had an awesome week one. I thought Pittsburgh might give them some problems. I thought Purdy might be a bit rusty coming back from the UCL surgery. I was wrong. Brandon Ayuk led the offense in a really nice performance for the Niners, both defensively and on the offensive side of the ball. Purdy looked good, multiple touchdown passes. Ayuk looked good. Debo got in on the action. Just a very complete game from San Francisco. They're going up against a Rams team that really showed out against Seattle. Matt Stafford, a lot of talk about Stafford's elbow. Talk in both my group chat and the ESPN national media writ large here. But I thought he looked pretty dang good. And they were able to run that offense that gets the ball peppered out to multiple receivers very effectively. Puka Nacua did an absolutely amazing job in his rookie debut in the regular season. Tutu Atwell chipped in. And they got a nice 2-touchdown performance from their backup running back. So, real interesting game for the LA Rams offense. And you know what? That Rams secondary that I can't name a single player in, they didn't look hard bad limiting Geno Smith in the second half of that Seattle game. So I think this Rams team might be a little bit more legitimate than people have been giving them credit for. Another team that folks sort of had in the bottom of the league there, I think they might be a few spots higher. I'm going to take the 8 points with the LA Rams here and just assume that quick passing McVay offense is able to negate the San Fran pass rush to some extent. And we see Stafford kind of deal in that short to mid-range that he enjoys so much. I take the Rams and the points here. And again, a game I think San Francisco wins by 4 to 6 points, but I'll take the spread here with the Rams and the upside of a team that I think has a lot more left in the tank than they're getting credit for. All right, coming down the home stretch, New York Jets at Dallas. Dallas laying 9.5 points. Dallas didn't have to do much on offense in their debut against the Giants. And I think I have significantly more questions about that Dallas offense than I have answers at this point. Namely, Dak Prescott, who didn't look his best against the Giants because he wasn't really asked to do much, really felt like he struggled to get off his first read, felt like he was throwing the ball, making an emphasis to throw the ball to, quote, where only his player can get it, end quote, and generally seemed a little timid about taking some shots downfield despite having a healthy CeeDee Lamb and a healthy Tony Pollard to help him on offense there. So I think there's some legitimate concerns about Dak here, admittedly, going against a Jets team that is starting Zach Wilson. But that Jets defense is fairly legit. It could be a defensive showcase here, Dallas defense versus Jets defense. And I think Dak is less equipped to win such a grinded out game than he could be, and public perception indicates that he could be. So, again, going to take the boatload of points here. Give me the Jets plus 9.5, and I guarantee you if you wait a couple more days, you can get that in the 10 to 10.5 range as people continue to pound Dallas. But I think this Jets defense gives Dak some issues, and if it's anything like the run-stopping affair they put on Monday Night Football, I'm not sure that Pollard is able to penetrate this Jets front seven for a ton of yardage to kind of bail Dak out. So give me the Giants plus 9.5. Washington at Denver. Denver laying the 3.5. We're seeing Denver at home for a second straight game. the Sean Payton effect didn't feel to be very prevalent in their week one game. Didn't think that Denver looked dramatically different than it had a year before. Didn't think that Russ Wilson suddenly was showcasing more gas in the tank. Instead, it felt like a lot more of the same. Not just for Denver, but also for Washington, who under Ron Rivera was supposed to look quite a bit different with Eric Bellamy coming into BOC, and I just didn't see a ton of it in that first game. No touches to speak of for Antonio Gibson, a lot of grinded out football with Brian Robinson, and then some passing with a QB and Howell, who is still very much growing into his own. But all that to say, I'm taking Washington again here, just like I took them last week, and I have them beating Denver outright. This is going to be my money line special. I'm just a big believer in this Washington team's ability to grind out wins. We saw that last week. They might not be the high-flying offense that Eric Bellamy is used to in KC, but they get the job done, and they got the job done this past weekend. I expect that to continue against Denver. Last game, Sunday night, Miami at New England. The Patriots are getting +3, and this is my lock of the week. I do not understand the disrespect to Miami here. I get the Bill Belichick is a defensive genius, yada, yada, yada. The shine's worn off Bill Belichick. He still puts together a competent unit, but it's no longer a situation in which he's constantly taking teams by surprise. I think a healthy MVP caliber Tua comes in here on the road to Gillette Stadium and just roughs them up. Love Miami laying the 3 points. Love Miami to have huge games from both Waddle and Tyreek, potentially even getting the tight end involved or seeing a big performance from Mostert, who's still the starting tailback. But no, love Miami laying the 3 points. Don't really understand that line at all, and happy for Miami futures to move to 2-0. Not going to think too much about that one. Also not going to think a ton about this next game, New Orleans at Carolina. I picked Carolina in week one against Atlanta. I figured they would hang tough. J.C. Horn going down to a hamstring injury changes my entire vibe about that Panthers team. I had it picked as a Panthers team that would win on defense, run on offense, and generate results. While they may still run on offense, I just don't see that defense having the kind of impact that it would have had with J.C. Horn. New Orleans, meanwhile, could have won fairly comfortably against Tennessee, but doing just enough to run out the clock and working the way New Orleans did to ensure there was no time left for Tennessee. I think, I just think that the Saints here are the right side. I'm taking them -3. They would have got that cover against Tennessee if they had kicked a field goal instead of letting time run out. This time around, they're going to get the points earlier in the game, and New Orleans is going to fairly comfortably cover this number on Monday Night Football. The second Monday Night Football and the last game we'll talk about today, Cleveland at Pittsburgh, classic divisional rivalry. Pittsburgh's laying 2.5. They have T.J. Watt back. Just going to be an interesting clash. Initially, I liked Pittsburgh, then I waffled back to Cleveland because of Cleveland's defense and how good it looks. I'm still up in the air about this, but I will say that I have a suspicion that the grittiness of Pittsburgh shines through here at home. Kenny Pickett getting it done, won't have Deontay Johnson, will have Pickens, and will have Harris, the running back. Just feels like a game in which Carolina might get exposed a little bit, and some heavy point scoring here from the Saints that just bring a totally balanced team to bear this year. And I just realized that I'm super tired and I said New Orleans instead of Cleveland. So there you go. It is what it is. Cleveland, I think, ends up falling to Pittsburgh. I really like Cleveland's defense. I really like Cleveland's front seven. What a dominant pass rush and defensive line the Browns have. you know, maybe they shut down Pittsburgh in the ground game, but feels like a low-scoring affair. I would definitely take the under in this game. And I think both of these offenses are going to be fairly similar with QBs, that the team management just doesn't want taking risks. They don't want Deshaun Watson doing a ton. Kenny Pickett hasn't earned the right to do a ton. So a lot of running the football, a lot of passing to the tight ends in the backfield, tailbacks. I think the difference is that I just like Pittsburgh's coach more, and they're at home. So give me those 2.5 points. All right. That is it. We've come to the end of this kickoff episode of the 2023 season. Thank you all for being continued listeners, and I will work hard to make sure this is still a product you enjoy consuming. And that's going to do it for another episode. If you like what you heard, or if I make you some scratch on the action this weekend, be sure to subscribe to the pod so I can keep this content train rolling. Have fun, bet dangerously, and we'll see you next week.